Let's begin this next conversation with a figure, $1.3 trillion. That's the total amount of student loan debt in this country.
And here's another figure, 1 million. That's the number of people who have fallen behind on their student loan payments just in the last year.
So last week, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren pushed for an amendment to a budget bill that would allow students to refinance their federal loans and cut their interest rates from as high as 10% in some cases to less than 4%.
To pay for her plan, millionaires would be required to pay at least a 30% federal tax rate. Senate Republicans blocked that amendment, but Warren is still making her case.
Today, she's hosting a forum on the issue at UMass Boston with Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings. And Senator Warren and Congressman Cummings are with us now. Welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Good to be with you.
Good to be here.
Senator Warren, let me start with you. $1.3 trillion of total student debt and rising. You call this a crisis. What's the effect of this crisis?
Well, the consequence is that for many young people, they're graduating from college, but with so much debt that they really can't begin their economic lives. We have new reports out of the Federal Reserve Bank, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and the Treasury Department all saying that this student loan burden means that young people are not buying homes at the rate we would expect, not buying cars, not starting small businesses. So this student loan debt, it's a problem family by family, but it's a problem for all of us.
So tell us what you were hoping to accomplish with this amendment that you proposed last week. The Republicans blocked it, but tell me how this would have worked.
Well, the idea is we're just going to reduce the interest rate on student loans. Right now, the federal government has set the interest rates at a level where after you account for the bad debt losses, the administrative costs, and the cost of the funds, still produce billions of dollars in profits. The little set of loans that went out, it's not little, but set of loans from 2007 to 2012 are on target right now to make $66 billion in profits for the federal government. That is obscene. So what I propose, and Congressman Cummings is part of this and many of our Democratic colleagues, is to reduce the interest rate on student loans, wipe out those profits for the federal government, and give our kids a fighting chance to pay off their debts.
Now, Congressman Cummings, I'll ask you this next question. Why this big effort to rewrite these loans? I mean, they may be tough, but people agree to the terms of these loans when they took them. Doesn't personal responsibility enter into this?
Sure, personal responsibility always enters into these kinds of matters, but at the same time, if someone can refinance a house loan, they ought to be able to refinance a loan that puts them in a better position to do well by their family, their community, and our nation. It's just a question of priorities. But the other thing that we have to keep in mind, there's so many experts that have said, if we can straighten this out and give young people a hand up and help them through this, our nation and our economy will be better off.
Let me ask you, Senator Warren, about a possible unintended consequence. And this gets to another sort of pushback to efforts like this. And it's this. We know that the cost of higher education is heading into the stratosphere. It's already there, arguably making it easier to borrow money to pay for higher education. Might that be another factor that would push the cost of higher education even higher?
Well, you know, one of the things we have to remember about state schools is the reason tuitions have gone up nationwide and here in Massachusetts is because the state have put less money into the state institutions. You know, look, this one is personal for me. I was able to graduate from college because I went to a commuter college that cost $50 a semester. Why did it cost $50 a semester? Because taxpayers were saying, hey, kids, if you work hard, if you get good grades, we're going to make sure that there is an affordable option for you to get an education. That's just not happening today. You know, 25 years ago here in Massachusetts, the state picked up 80% of the cost of educating somebody at a state school. Family picked up the rest. What happened to that kind of 80-20 rule? Well, it's shifted to 50-50 now. That is, that the families have to pick up 50% of the cost. And boy, that means tuition goes up and goes up fast. And that puts a real squeeze on our kids. So I really think this is about our values. I think it's about our priorities. where do we as a country want to put our money? And I think we should be putting more of it into making sure that our kids have an affordable educational opportunity. That's how we build a future.
So this amendment that you had hoped to pass, Republicans blocked it. You wanted millionaires essentially to help pay for it by paying higher taxes. It seems unlikely in this Congress you'll be able to win this battle anytime soon. So are there other remedies on the table that might get more bipartisan support?
I'm pushing in every direction I can. I'm pushing the Department of Education to make sure that the contracts it puts out for debt collection are ones that work better for our young people. But the bottom line is a question about who Washington works for. You ask people about this, or you do polling on it. Do not think the United States government should be making a profit off kids who are trying to get an education. But Washington, boy, Washington is still out there saying billionaires are more important than our young people.
So, Congressman Cummings, I'd like to ask you finally, you're in Boston with Senator Warren today to talk to students, teachers, policymakers about student debt. What are you hearing from folks on the ground? I mean, what's your sort of final thought here?
I hear that people are simply unable to pay their debts at the rate the interest rates that they are. And one last thing, you talked about the student loan, reducing the interest rates on student loans. The votes may not be there at this moment, but believe me, they will be there. The time will come, and that's why we're going to keep on pushing.
All right. Well, that's Congressman Elijah Cummings from Maryland and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren in Boston today talking about student debt. Senator, Congressman, thank you both very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn now to Mitchell Weiss, an executive in residence at the University of Hartford and co-founder of the university's Center for Personal Financial Responsibility. Mitchell Weiss, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Meghna.
So first of all, tell us what you think about Senator Warren's idea to reduce or lower interest rates on student loans. Do you think that's a good solution for what's being called the student loan debt crisis?
I do. I think it's a good step. But it's not nearly enough. You know, she talked about both talked about a number of things. One that the debt payments that the students are making is getting in the way of other things,
mm-hmm.
Buying a house, buying a car. There's not enough cash. It's a zero sum. You know, there's only so much cash that's coming into the household, and if a good portion of that is going to be paying off debts, you know, what's left over?
Right.
They also talked about, or Senator Warren also talked about, the obscene profit that the federal government appears to be making on the student loans. And there's a reason for that. It really is a function of the way that the federal government is borrowing money on a very, very short-term basis at very, very low rates, and then lending it for a longer term at higher rates.
I mean, you've written that if you play the yield curve on these loans, the government has benefited to the tune of $50 billion in 2013.
That's correct. And not all of that $50 billion is can be clawed back by appropriately funding these loans, but nevertheless a good portion of it can be. But also, it's not just the interest rate. It's the duration of these loans. And that's what really needs to be extended.
I'm sorry to jump in here, but let me ask you specifically about that. I mean, you probably were just about to talk about it. But the reason why we wanted to have you on the show is because, as you were saying, you don't think reducing interest rates is enough, that you actually want a much more aggressive set of solutions, which includes restructuring the entire loan program or the entire debt portfolio here?
Exactly. When you have a portfolio where nearly 50% of all of the borrowers have experienced or are experiencing some form of financial distress, it's clear to me that these loans were improperly structured in the first place. These loans, I believe, should be uniformly restructured for 20 years. And yes, you can give benefit for the number of years that's already been paid in under the program, but these loans should carry 20-year amortizations given the size of these loans,
mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, the loans themselves should permit prepayment without, whether in whole or in part, without penalty, so that consumers have the ability to control the amount of interest expense that they incur in the process. So if they're capable of paying this off, they could pay it off. The IBR and the PAYE programs that the government launched are good first steps, but they're
IBR, sorry, the income-based repayment. Right.
Income-based repayment, yeah. And the PAYE, pay as you earn, these are good first steps, but they're cumbersome because the borrowers have to requalify for these programs each year. That's one problem. And the second problem is that there's no way that they could really set their budgets because they won't know what their payments will be until after they've qualified for it. So how do you plan for the future?
Right.
How do you plan for next month?
Well, Mitchell Weiss, let me ask you. I take your point that you want a much more aggressive set of solutions here. But just a minute or two ago, we were talking about how, according to one of your estimations, that the government benefited by roughly $50 billion from these student loans in 2013. Now, Senator Warren is having trouble enough as it is just getting Congress to agree to reduced interest rates on student loans. I mean, what is the likelihood at all that a whole-scale restructuring of how the government loans out money to students would even be politically possible?
Well, the question is, how is that $50 billion in profits being spent? So what's happening there is that cash is fungible. You can't paint the dollars a special color and track them through. So that money is being used to offset the deficit. And nobody wants to see that deficit go up at this point. If these loans are restructured, and if you couple that restructuring with an appropriate financing, which is really a match financing of the portfolio, the profit that the government currently earns would be diminished, but it would still be a profit. The problem is that the offset to the deficit would be less than what it is right now. So that's another way of saying I disagree that taxes are necessary, additional taxation is necessary. I think that the funds to restructure these loans currently exist,
but only with the imagination of doing the restructuring.
That's right.
Okay.
The restructuring needs to take place. And the reason for that is not only because the government is at risk borrowing short and lending long, but at some point in time, a nearly $1 trillion balance sheet at the ED is going to have to be dislodged.
Right.
And that means that the government will wind up going to the private markets and selling off part of its student loans.
Mm. Well, Mitchell Weiss, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I'm afraid we're out of time for this conversation. Mitchell Weiss is executive in residence at the University of Hartford and the co-founder of the university's Center for Personal Financial Responsibility. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, a 25th anniversary edition of the book Heather Has Two Mommies, which sparked a firestorm of controversy when it was first published. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.